Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is jazz saxophonist Denny Morouse. Morouse is a recent transplant to Tulsa, arriving a few years ago to care for his terminally ill brother. But the Pittsburgh native has had a long career as a musician, backing everyone from pop legends like Stevie Wonder to a jazz career working with organist Larry Young and drummer Art Blakey. Morouse was a fixture in the late 1970s studio scene in New York, working extensively with Randy and Michael Brecker and David Sanborn. In fact, the former appears on his new album. Randy Brecker is a special guest on Denny Morouse's new album called Dancing With You After You've Gone, which features samba and jazz and features the trio La Paz and the Brazilian trio, Nilson Mata, Romero Lumbambo, Dudeca de Fonseca, Helio Alves, and Tulsa vocalist Annie Ellicott, who appears on Two Cuts as well. Denny Morouse joins us today to talk about his new CD here on Studio Tulsa. Denny Morouse, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Rich.
Good and congratulations on the new CD.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very proud of it. And what can I say? I think it's my best CD so far.
Now, you've had you've made about three or four CDs over the years and played on a number of CDs and recordings over the years, especially when you were in New York. This has got a great lineup. Randy Brecker on trumpet. Now, how did you know Randy Brecker? You guys go back to the Stevie Wonder Band, is that right?
Yeah, and I knew him even before that, like when he played with Horace Silver, him and Mike, a long time ago, I think it was the early 20s. No, I'm just kidding. And I was playing with Art Blakey in the Jazz Messengers, and we crossed paths, and I became very close to both of them, you know, and over the years. And then when I was playing with Stevie Wonder, the trumpet player fell off the stage sitting on a piece of equipment, those rolling anvil cases, and fell off, and he went into a coma, you know.
Oh, wow.
And so he couldn't play for a while. So all of a sudden, Stevie got Sanborn to come back and Randy, you know. So we were crazy, young and crazy, and had a ball, you know, playing with those guys. They're both so amazing. So, and then I've done, you know, like when I moved to New York after Stevie Wonder, I was like really in demand. Like, you know how they say, get me Denny Morouse who played with Stevie Wonder. And then 10 years later, they get me somebody that sounds like Denny Morouse. And then 25 years later, it's like, who's Denny Morouse? You know, it's like that in theater too. You know, people always like. But anyway, I did hundreds of commercials with the Brecker brothers, John Faddis, Ronnie Cooper on baritone saxophone, Dave Taylor on bass trombone, and Jimmy Pugh on trombone, and Sanborn was in on a lot of them.
And that was that sort of heyday of New York jingle dates.
Oh, yeah.
In the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, just jumping from one to the other, a jingle, and then, mm-hmm. you know.
And then playing jazz at night.
Yeah.
As much as you could.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's what I did. Like, I started meeting these people, the rhythm sections on jingles and stuff, or sometimes recording dates, you know. And I was always loved to play live before. I mean, I love recording, and I really got into it in Pittsburgh, but I really got into it in New York, you know, because there's so much of it at that time. I was blessed, you know. And so, you know, you do, like, sometimes I was doing like 22 dates a week, you know, and that would be you made more money on the residuals of commercials than you do sometimes on the sale of your albums, you know. And then it's
that probably hasn't changed.
No, that's true. It's kind of like capital gains for the musician, you know, the residuals. So,
but obviously you haven't been in touch with Randy for some, or have you kept in touch with him over
the years? Yeah, we stayed in touch. Like when I lived in Hawaii after the World Trade Center, I witnessed that from 60 yards away, and the whole thing unfolded, and it was the most traumatic thing in my life. So as soon as I could get out, I moved to Hawaii. We were always in touch because we did a lot of sessions. We traveled on the road different times. And there's some good musicians in Hawaii, but on Kauai, it's limited. You know, there was a good piano player, not a good bass player, you know, and a really good drummer, bebop, straight-ahead drummer, Tony Rodarte, you know, a Mexican-American. And he's been living out there for 35, 40 years. You know, when he was a teenager, he just studied around L.A. and then moved there. And he's great. It was great. He always had a great feel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I just wanted to play with some of my New York friends. You know, I'm saying, God, I miss the caliber, you know. Mm-hmm. On Honolulu, there's more higher caliber, but not many, you know.
So you brought Brecker out to play?
I produced a concert in mm-hmm. Three Islands. The concert was a success. He brought Ada Ravati, who's an excellent saxophone player, is married to Randy now, and they have a little three-year-old girl. And so I had to get Randy on this
CD
because he's such a great player, you know.
Well, and this is what's really interesting. I mean, we know you have these long credits, but, you know, you're now living in Tulsa, which is sort of away from a lot of the yeah. center of music, and yet you have Randy Brecker playing trumpet for you on this recording, and you have the Brazilian trio as your rhythm section.
Yeah. Trio and, de Paz.
It's a combination of the Brazilian trio and the Trio de Paz because just interchange the piano.
And Elio has played piano. Elio, H-E-L-I-O, Elvez was the mm-hmm. pianist, and he's part of them. He's the fourth guy of the trio.
Yeah. Well, the Trio de Paz is with the guitar player Romero Lubamba.
Romero Lubamba.
Yeah, and then the bass player Nilson
Mata
and Dedeca de Fonseca have the Brazilian trio is the one with Helvio Alves.
You know what? They might have recorded with Trio de Paz is really Dedeca de Fonseca mm-hmm. On drums, Nilson Mata bass, and Romero Lubamba.
Yeah. Well, how did you get this quartet to play for you? Were you familiar with their work or had you worked with them?
Yeah. There was a place called Cafe, and it was on Union Square, which is like around 16th Street and Broadway. And it was owned by about five or six supermodels, you know. And I don't know when this was, like 15 years ago or more. And like, it was sort of like a trendy place, you know. And then I was walking across the street, and I hear this music coming out of this place, you know, and I walk in and there's Romero Lubamba just blowing me away. And they played from 12 to 5 every Saturday. So that's what I would do. And I took everybody. I'm the kind of guy, when I love something, I like to turn everybody onto it. Same like with Annie Ellicott. Like, I'm thrilled that she was able to play and the producer was able to fund that and the whole album. A guy named William Winters, the executive producer, and he's from here, and he's just an amazing support that he put up the money, and it was expensive because just getting those guys, even though they gave me a break, was expensive, and then the studio. So I'm really grateful for William. He kind of just gave us what we needed, you know. And and so I knew Trio de Paz, and I had played with Nielsen and Elio, the piano player. I used to hire them to do trio things, you know, without a drummer. And same with Romero. I did Nielsen and Romero and never Dedeca, but he's one of the great.
He's one of the great Brazilian drummers.
Yeah, and he can play like that. Nielsen and Elio Alves on keyboards and Dedeca played. They used to play with Joe Henderson for about 2 years because they can play straight ahead. And Dedeca never took a lesson, but he is the most musical drummer I've ever played with. And his feel, I mean, some of the sambas we did, he's doing it on brushes. Mm-hmm. You know, and you just like, in the studio, I was just wanted to dance, you know. So they are incredible, and they're just nice guys, and they kind of brought me into the Brazilian family, you know. And Romero plays with Diane Reeves. I don't know if you ever saw him, but they do some amazing, and Diane Reeves is really probably my favorite jazz singer of the day, you know. She's like the Sarah Vaughan of our time.
Well, let's hear some music from this new CD that gives us a sense of these great musicians. Okay. Let's hear one of your original tunes called Dreaming. This is a really nice cut. How did you write it? When did you write it? Was this all new music that you wrote, or is this been music you've had for a number of years?
Well, a lot of it's new, and some of it's maybe I had for a year or two, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, Dreaming, I kind of wrote it is a ballad.
Well, you don't play it as a ballad on that.
No, it's on another, I think it's on my Patti's Lament album, and I just recorded it with a guitar, and I liked it. And then I just wanted to, I decided I wanted to make a suite out of it. It does the melody very slow and then breaks into like the intro on there and breaks into a samba, you know. And but since I recorded it already, and I, you know, the producer, I love him, but there's 74 minutes of music, by the way, people, on this album. And the producer wanted everything on there. And there's another song that I did a samba version of, You Don't Know What Love Is. And it's just, there's no, it was over 80 minutes, and there are no CDs with 80 minutes. So we gave him 74 minutes of music, and I'm proud of it. And the guys are, you know, well, listen to it. It speaks for itself.
All right, let's hear music from Denny Morales from his new recording titled Dancing With You After You're Gone. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa as we hear one of his original tunes with the Brazilian rhythm section, a Trio de Paz and the Brazilian Trio, and trumpeter Randy Brecker on Dreaming. Music by my guest today, Denny Morales, from his new album, Dancing With You After You're Gone. He's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Not only did you have Randy Brecker playing on a number of cuts, the wonderful trumpet player.
Oh, he's great.
But you also, again, you mentioned, alluded to Annie Ellicott coming up from Tulsa, and you decided to include her on the recording. Now, have you guys worked together here? Or?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, the reason I came to Tulsa was my brother was dying of cancer, and he lived in Claremore. You know, and I was on the road. I left Hawaii in 2009 touring the West Coast and Chicago, New York, and different places, and picking up bands as I go, you know. And because I know people, I've been around long enough to know people, the good players, and they attract the other good players, you know how that is. And so by the time I got near Tulsa, Kansas City, I found out that my brother had cancer, you know. He since passed, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was good that I was able to spend time with him.
So you just pretty much dropped everything and came to Tulsa.
Yeah, yeah. So I came here, and people said, oh, you got to hear this girl, Annie Ellicott, you know. And and I heard Annie, and I went, she's got it. You know, she's like some people, like she's just got it. You know, you can't describe it. And she's so natural, you know. And then I found out she's been singing since she's five. And we became friends, you know. And I sat in with her and stuff and eventually hired her for some of my gigs and stuff. And I just see her keep getting better and better. And I actually, in my own mind, after being here a year or two, I voted Annie Ellicott the best jazz musician in Tulsa. You know, and I tried to get Annie to go to New York. I says, Annie, you ought to go to New York. And this was like in 2010. She goes, but my family's here and my parents are, my friends are here. I says, well, you don't have to live there forever, but you will get really known, you know. But she was more like shy about it. And then she started just coming into her own, and everybody's hiring her. Everybody, you know, yeah. Like when you think of a singer, it's Annie.
And so you wanted to make sure that she was on this recording.
Yeah.
You had her come and sing two numbers. And,
yeah.
And I guess, assume you recorded this in New York, right?
Yeah. You know, and thanks to the producer, I brought him down to hear Annie, and he loved her, you know. And then the band, these are New York guys, like, and they play with the best. They are the best. You know, they've heard the best. Well, there's a story that Nilson Matta was my co-producer, and he was talking about a couple of Brazilian singers who are very good, really nice singers. We rehearsed twice, and then Annie came in the first rehearsal, and after the first rehearsal, Nilsson came up to me and goes, "Danny, I think you made the right choice." And they just were, you know, and they all eventually just went, "She's just singing."
Well, let's hear Annie Ellicott singing from your new album, Denny. Here's music from the new CD as Annie Ellicott sings Skylark.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring, where my heart can go a journey?
My guest today is Denny Morouse, saxophonist and composer, and his latest CD is Dancing With You After You've Gone, and that's a kind of a ballad on the piece. Was there a specific story about that?
Well, in a way, it's a sad story. I had a nephew at 25 years of age. He fell into a deep depression, refused to take medical help, and he wound up committing suicide. And he was the youngest of my older brother's five kids. And it was devastating. This kid, he was such a beautiful kid. I mean, anything like that when a child dies, you know. And so I was living in Kauai then. I mean, this happened probably in 92, maybe, that he did this, or 94. I can't remember, but it just seems like yesterday. And I was sitting, looking out. All the places I lived had beautiful views. I could see the ocean this way, the mountains this way, and the sun, you know, coming around like my house in the daytime. And I would sit there, my piano would look out the window, and I just started thinking about him. His name was Anthony Morouse, Tony. And so this melody started coming up. I was playing it on piano. I mostly write all songs from my voice and piano, keyboards, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I very rarely wrote a song ever on the saxophone. I was thinking about him, and this song came up, you know. And then I was playing every Friday and Saturday night and on the east side of Kauai in a place called Shaka Tacos. And Shaka is like a sign of like peace, brother, you know, with your finger and your thumb.
It's what's happening, bra. Be cool.
Yeah, and I heard some little island teenager say, "I went to L.A. I went to school in L.A., and I was giving everybody the Shaka, and they started giving me the finger back because they thought that she said she learned that you can't do that.
Well, let's hear a little bit of that music if we could.
Yeah, and just really quickly, how it got named was I couldn't think of a name of it. You know, it's too painful or something, but it came out in the music. And so every Friday and Saturday, there was this young French couple, and she was on a sabbatical. She's a novelist or a writer of some kind, and she loved the music. I kept on saying to people, like, for about a month, like, I can't think of a name of this tune, if anybody could think, and I never told them where it came from, you know. And so she was leaving one night, and she handed me a piece of paper, and it says, "Dancing With You After You've Gone." And I went, wow, that's very poetic, you know, in a way. And then I was going, but it doesn't describe, and I just went, that's perfect, you know. It's perfect. It came from her heart, you know. She heard something in there and of gone, the absence, you know.
Well, let's hear a little music.
Okay.
This is Denny Morouse, my guest today, with a title track from his album Dancing With You After You've Gone.
Thank you.
It's music by my guest today, Denny Morales, who got an incredible band together, including the Trio La Paz, along with pianist Helio Alves, Randy Brecker, and Annie Ellicott, singing on a couple of numbers for his new recording, Dancing With You After You're Gone. And a lot of nice music. Now, I know you lived in St. Thomas for a while.
Yeah.
You lived in Hawaii for a while.
Yeah.
And you know, this is sort of a mixture of samba and jazz. Any of those rhythms kind of pick up? I mean, have they been influences in the way you write your music?
Well, I living on St. Thomas for like about 2 years, like I really got, I played on a calypso band. And they were playing, you know, this was in 1970, I think, 71. Yeah, 70 to 71. And most popular from the West Indies was like Bob Marley, was reggae.
Right.
And reggae was pretty big on St. Thomas, but they did that like, and this, the band was called Black Machine, right? And so I it was just fun for me with my tenor saxophone just blowing over those rhythms, you know, and they had an Iron Man who would bring an anvil, like, you know, like, and he would bring like aluminum trays from a
like a washboard,
not a washboard, but I mean in a refrigerator, you
oh,
know
okay.
your bottom
right,
trays
right.
Yeah, that uh-huh. hold fruits or vegetables, and then
that was B's drums,
yeah, and then he had like a lot of gas caps from cars, like on a some kind of metal thing, and he would just play all the kind of stuff, you know. And then plus they had a timbali player, and
did they have a pan player, a steel pan player?
No, they were really into doing, they were young guys, and they were really into doing Jackson 5 songs. But they would jam on them, so they opened it up for me, and I could play solos for 20 minutes or something. And I loved it because the band, let's face it, they smoked a lot of pot. And so they would all get together and smoke pot and everything, and then that show up at this club owned by this Jamaican, the Brown Derby, that's what it was called. And people on, it's a small island, 3x7, and some, they're supposed to start at 9:30, but they never got started
probably
before 11:30, and sometimes later, and sometimes a few times earlier. But what happens is everybody just starts calling up and says, the band's down at the Derby, you know? So all of a sudden this little place becomes really packed, you know, and with tourists too. And it was just fun. And the drummer in the band was John Lucian, you know, the singer.
Mm-hmm.
He's from St. Thomas. His brother, Eric, was the drummer, and he's very strong and stuff. And then a conga player named Keith Stevens, who I got a job with Stevie Wonder, like after I joined and Stevie Wonder's percussionist wasn't there. And I was just telling, this guy was amazing, you know. But I was always into Brazilian music. Like somehow, I think maybe I came from two lifetimes ago of Brazilian, but it always appealed to me, you know, and it's just the samba especially, and bossa nova, you know, which I listened to Charlie Bird and Stan Getz when they came out with that stuff, and Antonio Carlos Jobim and his beautiful writing. I mean, I heard that he makes more publishing money than Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, and Michael Jackson might have passed him when he sold 40 million copies
yeah.
of Thriller or whatever it was. But I've just always been, I just tease people, I'm a born-again Brazilian, you know. Did you ever hear the story about some guy walked 300 miles to hear Bach play, like from another country, I forget where it was. I read it in history books somewhere. Romero plays so happy. He has chops, but it's so soulful and joyful, you know. And I said to Romero, I said, I'd swim through the Florida Everglades to hear you play, you know. And they're so nice. I mean, it was such a vibe it was the best vibe I had on any of my sessions. Not that the other ones weren't great and everything. Everybody was.
Put it together in 3 days, so it must have gone really quickly.
Well, it did. And I attribute that to it. I'm a good planner, you know, because I've had to do cheap all of my life. And so, you know, I made the arrangements. I thought what I wanted to do, who I wanted to play with there. And then And I would switch my arrangements a little bit if they didn't sound right, you know, on the spot. But those guys were so quick. And we did rehearse 4 hours one day and 4 hours the next evening, you know. And there's a one song on there, Bahia Hottie. Bahia Hottie.
Yes.
Like da la la da ba 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 da 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 da. Like, I sent them the chart so that they could learn it because it's really moving. But the funny thing is, 30 years ago when I was playing at that place, McCowell's, when I had all these great musicians playing with me, Randy used to come in. Him and Sanborn would come in and sit in. And Tom Scott sometimes if he was in New York. And Randy came up and he sight-read that. He sight-read it. And I don't know if he was looking at it beforehand, but he's a great sight reader, you know. Him and Michael are just like, whew. I've been blessed playing with great people, you know, and you get spoiled. You know, you get spoiled. And these guys, like most of the takes were first take, you know, and we had to rehearse that Bahia Hottie a little bit, you know, part for the structure of the tune. And then they put some, they changed some of the rhythms. In one part, you know, like tan 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 tan. It's almost like calypso, but it's a Brazilian name for that same rhythm, like boom boom chicka dun dun. Because it's going like chunk chicka daka chunk chicka dun chicka daka chunk chunk dun, and then pong gong chicka dun dun chicka dun dun. You know, and you know when they were just even playing like the Joe Beam song. That's a Finata. And they just started playing like it's, I wanted to play it as a samba, but they started playing it as a fast bossa. And, you know, and I just went, I'm sitting there, I'm going, nobody can play like these guys, this music. It's their music, you know, and it just, and everything was just in the right place, you know. We did it in one take, you know, and most of the stuff was one take.
All right. Well, people, I guess you can find this around here in Amazon and all the usual locations.
Well, it's supposed to be on CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, and a bunch of other stuff. It was supposed to go on sale on Friday. It was supposed to go on sale in April. Any day now, it's going to be for sale. And you know, I thank you so much for having me here.
Well, thank you for being here. Saxophonist and composer Denny Morales speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. His new CD is titled Dancing With You After You've Gone. We're going to leave you with a little music from the CD. This is that Bahia Hottie that we were talking about at the end of the interview. Studio Tulsa is produced by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.